Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, so real quick, before we start the solo version, I just want everybody to stop. Everybody stop. If you're driving, pull to the side of the road. If you're flying a plane, talk to the airport pilot, because I assure you what we're about to discuss right now is about to break you. Okay, so, antimatter. Let's discuss this real quick. Don't worry, I'll edit all that.
You remember, you have to edit that out.
I'm editing all this. Don't worry. So, okay, I'm about to send you something on Instagram, okay?
Okay.
Once I send you this thing, I want you to play it out. You can play it out loud on your phone. Doesn't matter. I am okay with them listening to the background. I want to hear your live reaction. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Send it.
I'm opening up Instagram right now. Here.
I'm sending it right now. By the way, I just got him like 2 minutes ago. He completely had no idea I was doing this. I want to see his surprise reaction.
Oh, deadass. They're showing the thing. Oh, Doctor Strange. Spider-Man No Way Home.
Suggest that Parker's powers include male spider's ability to hypnotize females.
Stop, come on.
Yes, my spider lord.
Can we just like sit up here all day?
It is so crazy down there.
That's right, folks. Spider-Man is in fact Peter Parker.
Listen, I did not kill Mysterio. The drones did.
The drones that are yours.
Does any part of you feel relieved about all this?
What do you mean?
Now that everybody knows, you don't really have to hide or lie to people.
For the record, I never wanted to lie to you. Then how do you tell someone that you're Spider-Man?
Now everybody knows.
But this isn't about me. This is hurting a lot of people.
I've just been thinking about how to fix all of this.
So, Peter, what do I owe the pleasure?
I'm sorry to bother you, sir.
Please, we saved half the universe together. I think we're beyond you calling me, sir.
Okay, Steven.
That feels weird, but I'll allow it.
When Mysterio revealed my identity, my entire life got screwed up. I was wondering if maybe you could make it so that
feel
he
free
never
to
did.
Like be excited. Right. Everything, bro.
Don't
I want to hear the reaction.
Spell.
It's too dangerous. Okay, on God. Fine.
That's not how the spell works.
So MJ's gonna forget about everything we've ever been through?
Stop tampering with the spell.
Oh my god, Ned, he's my best friend. My Aunt May should really
stop talking.
Alright, nigga, what the... Okay, hold on, I swear to God. Hold on, I'm getting a little bit hyped. If I think what's gonna happen is gonna happen, I'm gonna shit. I'm going to shit. If what's gonna happen, that I think's gonna happen in my brain, like I'm walking away. Goblin?
Yeah.
Be careful what you wish for, Parker.
Duck off! Oh my god! I'm gone!
Yo, this is only a teaser trailer, bro. This is only a teaser trailer. Yo.
But that's him. That's him.
Yo.
That's actually...
Yo.
That's Doc Ock.
Yo.
It's the same guy who played Doc in Spider-Man 2. Which
it might be the same Green Goblin too. It might be the same Green Goblin.
I swear to God, if that's actually him, and that's Willem Dafoe, and that's Willem Dafoe too, because look, those goblin bombs kind of look like
they're
those
the exact
goblin
same.
Bombs in
they're
Spider-Man
the exact same, bro. Yo,
so
I'm
if I see, look,
excited.
If I see my nigga Tobey Maguire, if I see my Peter Parker, that's the Peter Parker I grew up with, nigga. All right, look, first movie amazing, second movie phenomenal, the third one's aight, but still. Tobey Maguire is a solid ass Peter. If I see that nigga, I'm gonna cry. I might actually fucking cry.
I'm gonna cry in the theater with you, dude. I'm excited.
If I see him and like we just see get a silhouette and like Tom Holland Spider-Man is like, "Who are you?" And he's like, "Who am I? You sure you wanna know?" I'm gonna fucking lose it!
Dude, I'm so excited.
You don't do that to me! You don't do that!
They're gonna erase the mind of everybody who knows about him and is gonna tamper with the multiverse? Dude! The multiverse already has some tempering going
on. He's changing right. the entire timeline, and Peter screwed it up by mm-hmm. talking during the spell. Mm-hmm. So it could happen, and we get this Green Goblin, mm-hmm. and we get Doc Ock, and if it's him, if it's Willem fucking Dafoe, and if we see Toby, I'm going to shit. I'm going to shit. And it's Dude, not gonna be. And excited. I'm gonna be, bro. I'm gonna be ugly crying. I will ugly cry. I will ugly girl cry. I swear. That's not even funny. That's on everything. That's on God, bro. That's for real, for real.
Dude, we already know right. for a fact that we're gonna get the Spider-Man. We're gonna get several Spider-Man like features on his suit. Like he's gonna have the symbols, the sigils, to use sorcery and stuff. And he's gonna get a new suit in this movie. So just, I'm so excited, dude! I can't wait. They specifically did not show Goblin because everybody knew they were gonna be excited for that. When you do not show that specific Goblin bomb and do not show Willem Dafoe. Come on, that's trash, bro. That's trash.
Yeah, but still, they showed Doc Ock. That's still good. That's still good, really right? good.
Yo, he's like, really good to see good. You again, Peter. I was like, wait, does he not realize that this is not the same Peter?
Again? What you mean again?
Right?
Like, is he perceiving it? Like, is Doc Ock perceiving it as his Peter?
Maybe.
Is that how he perceives it? Yo. How is this happen? I need. Just show me my nigga Toby. Just show me my nigga Toby. That's all you need to do. I can't
fucking wait. Yo. Oh my gosh. I can't wait, dude. I can't wait. So everybody who's listening, I am sorry that we're just talking to each other, not engaging you guys so much. Make sure to tell us on our Twitter. Goddamn, what was our Twitter again? I am sorry. I'm just excited.
You mediate all this shit. You should know.
Okay, so our Twitter is... Okay, so make sure to tell us how you think, what you think about the podcast at our Twitter at @into_thenebula and on Instagram at @into.thenebula. Is that what I made on Instagram? Yo, you would think I'll be on top of this stuff, but I am way too excited today. Yes, the Instagram is @into.thenebula. So, so we're gonna go ahead and shift over to the solo version. I just wanted to get his surprise reaction and see what he thought about this. Thank you guys so much, and cue the intro music. Alright, how's it going, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? We are back with the second episode of Solo Leveling Virgin, also known as the Solo Virgin. We're back again with our guest, Cal, the accuser. We'll call him Cal the Accuser.
Cal the Accuser, ooh.
Cal the Accuser. I rock with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Okay, I'm introduce yourself, Cal. How you been?
I'm doing good. I'm pretty good. Life's kind of kicking in now, you know what I mean?
Man's out here, Mr. Business, Mr. Life, adult, man.
I know, Mr. Worldwide. I'm working on it.
And I'm joined here today with my co-host.
Yes, hello. It's
I,
your co-host, Dancing Matter.
All right.
I kind of don't want to be here, but I am.
He's a little tired.
We'll take it. He's a little tired. We'll take it. And we are joined with another guest this time. How's it going, Nate, a cosmic traveler?
Hello, guys. My name is Nate, and I'm in the same situation as NT Matter. We are very tired, and we try to get this bar guy as done as possible.
So today's episode is going to be discussing Chapter 20 all the way to the ending of Chapter 45. Next episode, I am not sure what we will be discussing for the next episode. I will research it as we're doing this episode. So, for now, first off, everybody does know what happens during 22 to 45. 45 is when he gets his actual power. 20 and onward, everybody does remember it for the most part, right? Other than Cal, who just read it. Right?
I just read it.
No, I need them to reply.
Oh, God. I was so worried. I was like, what'd I do wrong?
Nate, have you read it? Okay, all right. That's all I need. Okay. All right, so, what's up?
Yeah, I kind of end the latest chapter already, so I'm trying my best not to spoil for other people.
Don't spoil. Don't make sure that you remember what happens in 2024.
So you don't have to. But then again, maybe this will refresh my memory a little bit because it's been a while since I, you know, read it.
Okay, so this will refresh your memory. So Sungjin Woo goes into this dungeon with Jinho, the guy who he meets, whose dad is a rich guy, and he goes in there with a set of people who are looking very sus, very bad looking people, and then they block the gate, and he has to fight a spider. This is his first official boss after his reawakening.
Basically, the entire set of the whole set of chapters is essentially the build up to his actual power.
You remember that, right?
What we're talking about before he gets his real stuff.
Okay, the first main boss that he fights after he reawakens is the spider. I do not remember what the spider's name was, but Cal, what were your thoughts on the spider and how he had to utilize status effects and not necessarily damage effects?
I want to just say ahead of time that I called it. Those dudes were fucking sus.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, you did call it last episode. You did call it.
I said they were full of shit. They were full of shit. So, I really like the spider. I have arachnophobia, but like I appreciate like spider horror. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. It scares the shit out. So, when like you know like they did the dramatic turn and they were like, the dungeon entrance, and they see just a whole bunch of people like. They see all these people like and cocooned up, and the boss is right there, like just sleeping, like and they're staring right at it. Like that's, I was like, that's that was pleasant. I knew they were gonna like come up on the boss at one point or another. I didn't really think of like how much money they actually pulled off these dungeons, like.
I think those it was about crystals? 200 won.
Yeah, those crystals were worth a lot of won. And it was very... I was like, oh, they make, like, actual... Because I thought they were, like, you know, like, regular, like, rankers, and they all just, you know, make money off a certain earning. You know what I mean? Like, there's a set amount of payment for each, like, thing. I didn't think it was, like, they could pull separate holes from the dungeon itself on top of being paid.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can make the conversion of 200. It was, I think, 200,000 won, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so 200,000. Oh, wow, that's not much in dollars at all.
How much is it?
Okay, so 200,000 won can get you. What's it? Okay, so can are you able to double check for a fact that it was 200,000 won? Because if it is 200,000 won, yeah, that's not much. Maybe it was 200 million won.
Maybe. How much is 200,000 though, just right now?
Because 200,000 won is exactly $171.
Yeah, that's valid.
$171?
I think that's
valid. For a D-rank the gate, I mean, like, what are you going to share that with? For a D-rank gate, what are you, like, they were all...
I mean, you're doing a low-rank gate. You're not getting paid, like, a shit ton to begin with.
That's fair.
It's like working a minimum wage. Like, in a society where you work the perpetual minimum wage job, you're going to want to pull any spare change you can off of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean,
let's be real. Like, our protagonist, whose name I still can't remember for the life
of me. Sungjin Woo, yeah.
Yes. But he's coming, he's like from nothing. You know what I mean? Like, he has to not just, like, he doesn't have to just work to pay, like, this stuff, you know? He has to slave. So it's like. It's very different, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a different perspective. Because, you know, like, the S-rankers are just making straight bank.
Oh, okay, so you have learned about S-rank. Okay, the next topic is, so rather than using, like, regular, like, moves and stuff, because the Spyro had a lot of buffs, so it couldn't, like, a lot of his attack damages were not working, so he had to utilize status effects. Yeah, that, I think, was what I really liked about it. So rather than just buffing his way through it, it was pretty nice, that status effects. It made it did, yeah. So he just really waited it out. The next part is that he meets the younger brother of one of the S-class rankers and decapitates him on the spot.
I called it. It was that moment, like from Dragon Ball Z Abridged, where Cooler calls Frieza, and he like dials her on the phone, picks it up, and he said, "Someone better pick up this phone because I fucking called it." That was like, I felt like that. You know what I mean?
Yes, okay, so I am looking up at the actual chapter.
Are you going to kill him, or you called that he was, like, not to be trusted?
Both. I called that he was going to... Something was going to happen to him in this dungeon. I knew that. I knew he wasn't trusted. He was not to be trusted. Not at all.
Okay, I look up the actual chapter, so it's 10 million won. So I am going to look up how much that converts. So 10 million... Let's see how much that converts in dollars. Okay, so these guys should be racking up a good amount of money, so...
I still thought my logic was pretty solid.
Okay, so they got $8,000. $8,500. Bro, maybe I should be a... Bro? I'm in the wrong career.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good and all, but you gotta remember, and that's also just a D rank dungeon.
That's right? Just a D rank dungeon. But like, don't forget that that was a really rare pull for them as well. That was a very rare pull for them.
Okay, well, let's say that maybe the normal D rank dungeon is like probably maybe like half of that. So that's like $4,000.
That's $4,000, bro.
Like $4,000, that's still good.
I mean, then you split that up amongst 9 people, and it's suddenly very small.
When you split up 4,000 among 9 people, it's very small. 8,000 among 9 people is still, yeah.
So you have to split that up with 9 other people.
Not all gates require a party size of 10.
But then if you think about it, if you split, let's say 8,000 between 9 people, you're still making a lot, consider for one day.
It's still about,
there's a fee that they have to pay. Remember, they have to pay a fee for some of the stuff they pull
up. Yeah. So the thing is certain like regions are owned by certain guilds. Like the White Tiger Guild, who we're gonna reference in a little bit, owns a specific region.
So if you're going
region.
In the White Tiger's territory and you have to take one of their things, you're paying. They're fine.
Damn, we got a lot of ecosystem going up here. Dude, they've got economy in this.
There's a legit... I didn't realize, like, there would be a legit, economical aspect to this. Which is why I'm much more, like, supportive of it this time around. Although, I gotta admit, this power-up shit does feel like hardcore level warrior. Like I mentioned that last episode. This powering up shit is 100% feeling like hardcore level warrior.
Okay, another thing is that one thing we didn't reference in the last episode is that with his reawakening, the reawakening doesn't just allow him to get new powers. It says, no, you have to work for every little thing you do. Every day, you have to do a specific amount of push-up, a specific amount of running. Right. Yeah, that's a record. Like, it's mandatory. And if you don't do it, we will put your life in danger.
Towards, 38 or so, he feels the punishment.
I can't be ignoring these. I gotta do this every day. Okay,
He gets the punishment for it, so I know.
So this thing is not necessarily all a blessing. Like this thing is more of a hassle, really. The only good perk is that he doesn't have to die. So.
Yeah, but then you gotta think about it. It's kind of save him in the most crutch time because
we're not there yet. We're gonna get there. So first he reunites with his squad mates. So, the people who were there who survived, he reunites with them as they're going through one of the old dungeons. How did you guys feel seeing the interaction between him and his guys he was reunited with?
It was interesting. It was an interesting dynamic.
The girl was more like happy to see him. Everybody else was just like, damn.
It was, but it was nigga. Like, I thought I would never see them again. I didn't think they were important characters. I thought they were like just kind of there for the intro, to be along for like the ride, you know, like the NPCs along for the ride.
Right.
I didn't think they would be like reoccurring consistently. So it was interesting to see them.
One thing I thought was very interesting is that the guy who has the one arm, he's a trainer for an S class.
Yeah, for the S class. Right?
It's humble. We've seen two S class so far. Only one of them we know the name of, though.
So it's very humble, though. I appreciate it a lot. I think it's a really cool, like, way to propose, like, a character. Like, mm-hmm. this weaker old man being, like, the sensei to, like, this strong young student, you know? Like, they right. I mean, it's a good narrative.
Yeah, so the guy who was in the blue, I don't remember his name exactly, but he felt guilty out of everybody because he was the one who literally abandoned everybody the first chance he got. So yeah, I felt bad for him towards the end, which we'll get into. So next up after that, he meets his toughest battle so far. He's fighting against an assassin class person because this guy was sent in to come and kill the police, not the police, was sent to come and kill the inmates. And after killing the inmates, he can't have any witnesses, so he has to kill the other people who are part of the party. That battle was interesting. I was not like that was the toughest battle so far. The effects weren't working. The status buff weren't working. He has to say, like, okay, you know what? Maybe I should really use my agility now. Okay. Even after he uses it.
What I particularly liked about that was the fact that they gave him a really human reason. They gave that dude a really mm-hmm. human reason to do his work. The fact like, because that's something I would have done. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if I had a daughter who committed suicide because of that, you know what I mean? And then my wife was in the hospital in shock and completely unresponsive, you know what I mean? I would wish all kinds of death upon all kinds of people. You don't understand. I would... I don't understand the sheer, like... I would have done that. That's something I 100% would have done.
Yeah, I think one thing I really liked about it personally was so Sung Jin-woo at first did not want to kill this guy. He's like, look, I'm just gonna hurt you, that's it. I'm not gonna try to kill you. And then the guy's killer intent just kept getting closer to him. He's like, yo, please calm down. I'm gonna have to kill you if I, like, yo, if your killing intent is high, the system is that's gonna exactly tell me to kill you, and if I fail, I die. I'm not gonna pick me, bro. You better stop.
That's exactly what that is, though. That's like, dude, listen, man, I don't want to do this.
You don't need to. You don't need to do this. Please. Nah, I'm running the smoke. Nah, please, I don't want to. No, we running the smoke. Shit, we're running the smoke. Ah, God.
And even after he got, like, the speed buffs and everything, we still realized that the assassin had experience with his speed more than Sung Jin-woo did.
Interesting.
Bro, the art really style for the speed, that was nice. Well, I was not expecting that, bro. I like that. Well, I like that.
I was very appreciative.
Right.
I was very appreciative because I'm used to, like, the high-quality fight
art. And rather than... yeah. The high quality fight of what? Alright, so I think what I enjoyed about the episode, the specific fight, is that even when the guy did the camouflage, the assassin guy did the camouflage, he didn't say that, oh, now he can detect it suddenly. He still couldn't see the guy with the camouflage. He had to use he had to use the killer intent. So whenever he sensed it, that's when he attacked. And he had to use that. So at the end of the day, he still couldn't see and he was suffering damage, but killer's intent was what saved him, so. All right then.
Okay. I just thought it was really interesting. I thought it was a really interesting way to work a fight. One thing I was wrong about in my comparison in the first episode was the fighting system in hardcore leveling is nothing like fighting system here. I was completely wrong about that.
Okay, I haven't even read Hardcore 11, so I don't know what the fighting system on there is like. So after they get out of the dungeon, Sung Jin-woo gets warned. I forgot the name of the guy, but he's part of the monitoring division, the guys who monitor the gates in South Korea. And the guy's like, yo.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been keeping an eye on you, bro. You've been...
like, this dude died. He was kind of important. S-Ranker's brother. Mm-hmm. Like, this is important. We can't just not miss this.
Yeah, I just hope you know that when he comes for you, the law ain't doing shit about it, bro. This man's too strong.
Yeah, they're not.
We ain't doing shit. He's like, yo, Sung Jin-woo, like, just be careful, bro. The law ain't doing shit when this man comes here.
They don't want to get in that man's way.
Yeah. And then after that, this is when he meets Jinho again. Jinho, the guy who's the son of a rich guy, is like, okay, so I want to be a guildmaster, but to do that, I need to gain enough experience to be a guildmaster, and I want you to be my right hand man. And in return, I will give you the guildmaster building. I was like, but I don't know what the play is here. Like, if you're gonna give him the building, where are you gonna work from? I don't know. I'm interested to see where the play goes.
The building. He's gonna pay him for the, because he has money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's gonna go ahead and say. Okay, here's the building.
Mm-hmm.
Have some money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a little pocket of his money
right.
that his dad gave him. Mm-hmm. Like, so then he's gonna go and be like, here's the money
mm-hmm.
for the building. Like for my rent to use the building. And that's it.
Okay. So while as they were going through the several quests, so the deal was that only him and Jinho would go inside. Everybody else would just stand outside and they would still get money for just standing outside. I think it's a pretty fair deal.
A bunch of people, the fact he picked a bunch of people who were really at a disadvantage
mm-hmm.
and really off at a bad spot showed a lot.
Like that was really nice.
That was a very big thing.
One thing I will reference is there was a girl in a red hoodie. Do you know who she is?
The little girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know who she is?
Not a fucking clue.
Okay. All right. Okay. So she will be important later. So so far there.
Right, don't tell me.
No, I'm not gonna tell you. But she is one of the several people. Like the chapter very much focuses on her out of like everybody. But like she's one of the few people that the series says that might be a love interest for her, for him. Because so far right now we still don't have a love interest for him. But there's like three people and she's one of the
Ain't
three
he
people.
Grown? Hold up.
Right.
Ain't he grown?
Mm-hmm.
That's like that.
I mean, the girl ain't that young, though. The girl is like, what, like 18? She is around 18, bro. She just doesn't go to school.
He's probably like, what, 19?
Yeah, he ain't that much older. He ain't that much older.
That's an awfully close line.
But for those of you who are listening, I know you can't see right now, but this man's giving me the look.
We've seen what happens when people try to thread that line, dog.
It's an
awfully close line.
Okay. But hear this here. Hear this out, though. Who's gonna do shit about it to him, though?
Not her, I hope. Fuck.
Not her.
Not her. God, no. What about the actual cute ginger girl? How about you go chase her ass, dog?
But he doesn't have a love interest so far. He doesn't have a love interest. A lot of girls are interested in him.
She's not a 12-year-old, goddamn.
Bro, she's not 12. You don't.
You know they do that shit, dog. It's not just her. I'm not talking about that in general. I'm talking about get it, dog.
Okay.
I hope they don't.
Okay, so the next thing after that is that he finally encounters the White Tiger Guild. So, dude, we don't know who the leader of the White Tiger Guild is, but this is the first guild we've actually physically seen, and supposedly the leader of this guild is very strong. And the guy who one of the recruiters of the guild is like, okay, so this guy survived the surprise S rank gate and he survived several things. I need him. This guy is very strong. I said like, so the guy he's being watched right now by several people. He's being watched right now. So the guy's trying to recruit him. He says no to the recruiter and even threatens his life and everything. And the recruiter was like, okay, so I will give you double the amount of what the guy's doing. Okay, so you're telling me this, you're going to give me so the guy's giving him a $30 million one building. And you're going to give me a $60 million one building. He's like, what the fuck? You mean this is giving me a $30 million one building for not even being a guild master?
$30 million won. Don't say dollars. That's so bad.
I'm sorry.
$30 million won.
Okay.
Alright. Come on, bro.
Alright.
Next level thinking.
but it really is a lot. For just somebody who's just doing just a party assist, that really is a lot to just be awarding them. So I'm glad everybody's been referencing that so far. Let me see, what else did I get on here? So he sells him the SC class gates, and then he forgot to tell him that, hey, you guys already own the C class gates. I'm just selling it to you just for fun. So he dupes them and, you know, just goes back on their word. After that, that's when he finally gets the job quest. And this job quest is not only going to challenge him physically, but it's going to challenge him on several ways, dude. When he first goes into the job quest, it's like, you know what? I got this. No.
Oh, yeah, he was so confident. He's like, yeah, no, this is my first time getting a job. Like, dang, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do great. Yeah. No, you really.
No.
You really thought that you were that this is gonna be a walk in the park.
See, that's the thing, though. That's the thing. I can always predict. It's just gonna always be another power.
Yeah.
And I will be right a strong 75% of the time.
One thing I liked about it is that the job didn't just give him random guys to fight. The job was analyzing every other opponent he's been fighting till now. And gave him opponents that are similar but slightly stronger to see if it wasn't just dumb luck that he won, but he actually won through skill. So he had to fight a guy who was firing a magical blaze blast, just like the guy in the first D class gate. And he had to fight a guy who was very good at assassin and cloaking themselves, just like he did with the assassin. So he had to fight several of them, actually, just to make sure that he was actually doing it out of experience rather than dumb luck. So the system wants to make sure he ain't cheating. And even after he do that, damn, this man is running out. Like, bro, so far we've seen that he's a glass cannon. He can't fight for very long, effectively. So after a while of fighting, he's finally done it, and that's when he meets the Red Blood Knight Igris. Igris looks fucking dope, though. The design on this man. Igris came in and is like, oh yeah, I'm protecting this anti-throne. You ain't gonna sit on it.
Igris, I love the concept. Mm-hmm. A knight for an empty throne. Like, that's pretty cool. He uses the fucking force.
We ain't there yet.
But that's cool.
That is pretty cool.
It's part of the fight.
I like that it wasn't it wasn't like his power or nothing. It was an actual item he gained for doing one of the dailies. Yeah, so I like that. It's just by luck that he gained that. Defeating Igris, what, bro? Igris was like, he wasn't stronger than Igris. Igris was stronger than him.
Igris was stronger than him.
He won by dumb luck.
Smarter.
The man, his shit literally broke, and Igris went, you know what?
Bro, Igris got early. He's like, yo.
Igris said, run them hands, boys. Let me see them cheeks.
Igris got sass, bro. He had the sass. He's like, okay, let's go. Let's go a little bit.
Yo, I love Igris, bro. The flex this man has. Like, okay, your weapons are broken. Don't worry. I'll use my hands. This man. And then even after he did defeat Igris, it was a close call. Like, he was not going to defeat Igris any other way. He had to get Igris off guard and stab him in the eye. Even the status effects were still not working. He had to do it through just letting his HP drain out. And then after that, the whole dungeon is like, oh, that's cool. Now we're going to give you the boss. What do you mean? Igris wasn't the boss. So after that, now the boss is going to be the timer. So the boss is going to be the timer and how long he can last. So the job has already decided, okay, so we know for a fact what we're going to give you now. However, we don't know how much in that specific job category you're going to get. So if you're getting an assassin, you could move up from being a regular assassin to maybe being a serial killer or like a street killer. Or from like a regular knight to a berserker. Or from a regular tanker to a... I don't know what the upgrade of a tanker would be. Or like a regular magician to a grand magician, you know? So we don't know what rank we're going to give you in that specific job, but we know what your job is so far. So throughout the entire match, it's been like analyzing him and seeing how his fighting style is. One thing it notices is that he doesn't fight with any other people, and he doesn't like to use any other people in fight, and whenever he does fight, he likes to use remains of the dead bodies, as in like collect items and stuff. So that's one thing the job specifically notices about him, which will become important later. But as he is fighting the actual boss, these guys are just coming and coming. Like, he's defeating them no problem, but there's too much of them. Like, it becomes a battle of attrition.
Yeah, he's getting, like, overwhelmed. He's getting really overwhelmed. And it's like ants, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know how ants are all strong, but together they're, like, crazy invincible.
Right.
Exactly.
And then when a bunch of them just come at him, he starts getting through this existential crisis. He starts feeling himself dying. And then we see his old version.
Yes, exactly. That's fire.
And just when his old version is getting to him too, psychologically and everything, he's losing everything. And at the end, he's like, okay, I don't even think I want to do it. And we see the count of 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He gets to the point, he's like, oh, fuck, I forgot to do my daily. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I can't be dying out here. I'm trying to live. So he defeats all the centipedes during the daily, and that's when he gets, I think it's called Dominator's Touch.
Yeah, it's the four. It looks amazing.
So he gets nominated as such. He comes back and he's like, okay, guys, round two. He's going all out. He's like, okay, now let me understand why you guys are coming. So there's magicians who spawn in a bunch of you guys. I'm going for them.
And so he activates his power to find out where the magicians are.
Right.
That's so cool. That's a pretty good concept. Because they spot him. So it's like equal exchange, risk and rich.
I think it started off with six magicians. I think it started off with six magicians. After he defeated three, you could tell the magicians were scared because they started bringing higher spells. He's like, oh, y'all are feeling fear now. Nah, I'm running these hands. I really like that fight. That was one of my favorite fights.
That's cool.
Okay, so once he finally fights and then everything is done, so he gets a very high score. Not the highest score, he gets a decently high score. So he could have gotten higher than this. Now, at the end, the job is like, okay, so we already figured out your job. You get Necromancer. This, the first comment he says, why do I get Necromancer? I don't even know how to do this. I didn't put any points in intelligence.
I'm not smart.
Oh man, I really like that this man can upgrade his intelligence, but that's the one thing he hasn't put any points in. He hasn't put any points in intelligence or stamina. It's all been just physical attack and speed, physical attack and some defense. I was like, yo, yeah, you're built like a tanker and you built like an attacker, way. You ain't ready for this. The job gives it to him and it's like, okay, so depending on how well you did on the timer, you may be upgraded from just a regular necromancer and upgrades him to Shadow Lord. With Shadow Lord, I don't know the exact number of shadows he can get. So every time an opponent is dead, he doesn't have to kill them. But when an opponent is dead, depending on how long ago the time of death is, he can resurrect them. The longer the time of death is, the harder it is for him to resurrect. And the tougher the opponent.
And that's where we gotta stop, because that's essentially where I was. Because he turned around and like he has all of these ones he's allowed to save. Yeah, and he turned around. He looks at our boy, right, the knight himself.
He's like, right? You.
And he goes,
you looking juicy, boy. What's up?
It's free real estate. he really went for it. You know what I mean?
And then, he has three tries to do it in each and every one. So the first try, he does it. It doesn't work.
So whoa, don't say that. Cause I don't know yet.
That was the ending. That was the end of 45.
That's the end of 45, right?
There. Yeah. You didn't see what happened after that?
No.
Huh. I could have sworn 40. Huh. I guess 45 didn't finish all of that. Okay.
And if it did, oh well.
Okay.
I that's where I am.
Okay. But so far though, how do you like the series, bro?
I'm getting a little more interested, but it's like, I still have to like make myself read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm not like reading it on my own. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not reading ahead. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Okay.
I would,
but like,
yeah.
But it's good. I'm more appreciative of how it gets a little better.
Yeah.
As it goes a little further down.
One thing the series hasn't established yet is a goal for you to achieve. So far, he's just ranking just to rank, just so he doesn't die. Right now, his goal is.
There is a goal to achieve though. He wants to become an S rank. Like, he wants to become an S rank. He wants to become the strongest. Like that's his goal.
I mean, yeah. But like, it was only just a shallow goal. It was only just like, oh yeah, that's something cool to do. But now that an S rank is actually after him, he has to do it so he can match or be better than the S rank. Cause or else he's gonna die. So now he's doing to match the guy. So there is an actual goal now. Later on, you will start to realize that he gets way too many goals and this man has to catch up. So the entire series, it gets very good. Yeah.
At this point, like, what is he equivalent to? Is he equivalent to, like, a demon?
He's up. If he gets Egress, he will be more than just a B rank. Because the thing about the Shadow Shoulders is that...
No, but I'm talking about him himself.
Him himself, he's about B rank level, yeah.
If we're going to add, you know, his shadows, like, let's just say after Egress, like, he's probably, mid to low A rank.
The thing is that Egress itself is A rank. Yeah, so Egress itself is A rank, and then the several shadows he has are all around about D rank or C rank.
Well, that's cool. I don't want to spoil. I don't want you guys to spoil anything else.
Right. So I'm not gonna spoil anything. I do have to say. So far, what you've seen is you've seen an E ranker, you've seen a D ranker, you've seen a C ranker, and you've seen a B ranker. That's all you've seen so far.
I've also seen an S ranker.
Yes, but you haven't seen them in power yet. Supposedly, they're so powerful that countries don't even want to stop them. So that's how powerful they are. So we've seen B rankers. They don't mean much. B rankers don't mean much.
Let's not forget.
But they did state that after B rank stuff, it starts to like exponentially increase.
Yeah.
In power.
Yeah. So let's not forget there's also a rank above S.
He doesn't know that yet. He doesn't know there's a rank above S. But from what
thanks for spoiling it though.
Thanks for spoiling it, dummy. But from what we realize so far is that D, E ranks, C ranks, they don't mean anything. B ranks hardly mean anything. They're just people who have like a regular, not even government job, just like regular federal jobs. Now, A ranks usually have government. So the guy who is doing the monitoring, he's stronger than Sun Jinru, but we know he's not an S rank. So we can deduct that he's probably around an A rank. Now, we know that A-rank people work for the government, but for somebody to be S-rank shows that they're not even, like, close to A-rank. I thought it was, like, maybe a little difference, but it seems like there's so high of a difference that countries don't want to stop them. So far we have a little hierarchy, and this man has a long ladder to climb.
So wouldn't you say an S-rank can take over a city if they wanted to, or, like, the whole country itself?
So far, I could theorize that, yeah.
I think you could take over, like, a good portion of a country, but for a whole country, I think you need, like, four of them.
I don't think you need four of them, bro. Maybe like two.
I'm just comparing it to like the size of America, because I'm wrong.
Oh, okay. That's about to say Korea is small, bro. Korea is small.
Yeah, if you want to take over America, like I think you need like four of them.
Yeah, but probably a good four.
Maybe they are like state wise.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not like strong.
Countries fear them, you should fear them on a country level.
Right. Like America specifically recruited him. They paid for him to come there, so he must have been very strong. And right now, I think is he the leader of the Sky? I don't think he's the leader of the No, he's not.
He's the leader of
He's not the the S guy, he's not the leader of the Scavenger Guild. He's one of your top players.
He's a top player.
Yeah. So there's somebody above him. That sounds scary.
So basically, you said that like an S rank can take like not the whole country, but by himself he can probably take like a state or something.
So
if countries fear him, then most definitely he could. Mm-hmm. Yes, a state.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if countries fear him, a singular state would not be able.
Because some of those hunter, like you know, some of the S rank hunter, they do have like zones and stuff like that. Like they have like their own territories and stuff like that.
Right.
Okay. Well, you don't have to explain that to me now. Okay. Thanks again.
What you mean? You guys talked about that thing in the thing.
I will. Yeah, but I'm not there. We're not there yet.
Yeah. You're a bit ahead. You're a bit ahead. Okay, so let me go ahead and say how many episodes we're going to check for the next one. Okay. Alrighty, guys. So the next episode will be done from 46 all the way to 70. Okay, that should be good enough. Alrighty, we'll go ahead and end this episode now. Make sure to leave a like, comment, subscribe, share it to your family and friend. And I will see you guys later. Peace out. Stay classy.